This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders.
Here in lovely Houston, Texas. And look who is in the studio lounge, Mr. Steve Sokup from Defense Storm. How are you, sir?
Great to see you again.
Good to see you as well.
Great to be back in Texas, too.
I know. It's not too bad outside, actually. We were just outside because we had a little fire alarm break.
We did.
Right in the middle of your keynote.
Right. Right at the end.
Oh, was it right at the end?
It helped wrap it perfectly. Yeah, I was concluding and then strobe lights and alarm and boom.
And out we go.
Yeah.
But it fit perfectly. Exactly. It all worked out just fine. I'm glad everything was A-okay. So, how's the conference going? I know we just started out because you were the keynote.
I was. Fresh from 10 days of vacation.
Oh, congrats.
Flew in.
You're looking
this is
tan?
My first assignment.
Well
yeah,
done.
Thank you. Thank
you look
you.
Tan, rested, and
yeah,
ready to
yeah,
roll.
Yeah, no, this was good. It's always a great conference. The last one was in 2019 because COVID kind of got in the way of the last two.
Yeah,
so it was good
yeah.
to get back with this group.
Exactly.
And have some good conversation.
Yeah, indeed. So tell us about what your keynote was about. Give us, I know it was a cyber risk readiness for credit unions. So that was kind of the overview there. So give us a quick
We talked a lot about shifting from posture to readiness.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I don't think the marketing team was thrilled with me. The subtitle of my opening was sitting up straight isn't good enough anymore. So a lot of credit unions, a lot of financial institutions in general talk about their cyber risk posture, which is all the things they have in place for when something bad happens.
Right.
And we espouse posture's okay,
mm-hmm.
readiness is better. And actually one of the greatest moments of the session, I think, was when one of the participants stood up and said, hey, I've got a great example of the difference.
Yeah.
And he talked about, it was actually a CUSO, talked about how they were engaged by a large credit union to come in and do a risk assessment. And it was the IT team that engaged them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were reporting their findings. You don't have this, you don't have that, you don't have this. And the IS and the risk team were in place and like, yes, we do, yes, we do, yes, we do. And you're on that committee and you're on that committee.
Right.
And it was a great example of the risk and IS team had a document, they had a plan,
mm-hmm.
they had the posture,
mm-hmm.
but nobody knew about it.
Oh my gosh.
The people that were responsible for enacting it and playing it out weren't informed. So they had the posture, but they didn't have the readiness.
A little bit of a disconnect.
And I think, you know, if you think about where we were in 2019,
mm-hmm.
there were probably more people that had less posture than they do now.
Yeah.
And I think credit unions have gotten some religion and they've knowledged up
mm-hmm.
on
mm-hmm.
what should we have in place, what
mm-hmm.
should we be doing. But the next step now is evolving that into readiness. It's
right.
not good enough to have the binder on the shelf in the boardroom that
yeah,
says this is what
right.
we do
mm-hmm.
if nobody knows who's supposed to do what
mm-hmm.
and when. So.
Well, and that goes to like what I've heard, like table exercises, you know, going
mm-hmm.
through rehearsals basically,
yeah.
or keeping up to date, that type of stuff.
We gave an example of an IR tabletop that we did, but I think, Mike, it goes a step beyond that now, and we were talking about almost how credit unions can go on the offensive. Instead of waiting for something bad to happen.
Mm, I like the sound of that.
How do you essentially take the fight
mm-hmm.
to the threat actors? Because
mm-hmm.
everybody agreed, they're out there. The number of breaches is up 17% year over year.
Mm-hmm.
Attacks targeting the space is up like 200 some percent since the pandemic started.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go from waiting and responding to taking the fight to them? And we actually
yeah.
talked about a case study of a financial institution on the East Coast that implemented our fraud module. We think that's a natural extension of what we're doing with cybersecurity. And they don't wait to lose money and do a diagnosis now and say, okay, we need to tighten up this procedure. We need to tighten up the credentials on this system. They find things. They find fraudulent accounts in the process of being open
right.
before they're opened.
Oh, good.
Before money can move. And they take the fight to the fraudsters.
Mm-hmm.
And we had an example how in one day, we stopped $860,000 worth of fraud.
Gosh.
In one day. And that's a good day's work.
No doubt.
Right? And
no
it's a great example of proactive versus
Yeah, and that's, I mean, you almost have to have that mindset today, right? Because it's so, the fraudsters out there are just so prevalent, and they're coming at you from so many different angles. Yep. The creativity is off the charts. Yep. So, yeah. So
yeah, and I think helps. One of the things that resonated with the group, too, was we talked a lot about how there, sometimes there's a disconnect between the execs at a credit union and the practitioners, the people that are in the technical weeds, mm-hmm, and they know mm-hmm. the systems, and they know...
Yeah.
And the execs are good at managing risk, and a role that they can and should play is enabling that kind of proactive versus reactive mm-hmm, culture. Mm-hmm. They set the tone, the tone yeah. from the top.
Yeah.
They don't need to be the technical experts. Mm-hmm. They don't need to be in the weeds, but they need to set the tone that we're not waiting. We're taking this fight on,
yeah.
and we're going to be proactive. And that cascades through the whole organization, and it builds a different kind of culture.
Yeah, no doubt.
That seemed to resonate with a lot of the CU execs that were
yeah.
around.
What are you seeing out there as far as challenges in this area, though? Because I'll keep talking about the proactive mindset that mm-hmm. we all have to have these days, which is a necessary thing. So what other challenges are you seeing out there as far as staying up to date, basically, yeah. or staying ahead of the curve?
I think there are a few things that support that. Two that we talked about today that I'd highlight. One is cyber readiness isn't an IT problem. It's not an InfoSec problem. It's not a risk problem. It's an organizational
mm-hmm,
problem.
Mm-hmm.
We cited a stat from a Stanford study. I think 88% of the breaches out there happen because of human error. And understanding that at the exec level and making sure that you're training people and drilling them on what is proper, what's suspicious, how do I react, what do I do,
mm-hmm.
it's critically important, mm-hmm. right? This concept of the human firewall being your most vulnerable piece of technology is right on.
That's true.
But you can fix it with training and awareness and building a culture. So that's one thing that I think fits with what you're asking, like. And the other is, traditionally, cyber risk has been this redheaded stepchild. I don't know if I can use that term or not, but it's been an anomaly compared
right.
to the other risks that credit unions are really good at managing, right? They're really good at assessing, should I open an account for you?
Mm-hmm.
Should I extend credit to you?
Mm-hmm.
Should
mm-hmm.
I loan money to this mm-hmm. business? And they have KPIs and processes and tools in place to assess the risk within their portfolio, if not weekly, daily. And then cyber exists on this island where, well, the examiners come in every 12 to 18 months, and as long as they give me a pass, I'm good. And truth be told, examiners are, they're great people. Most of them are more trained on how to look at your financials
right.
than to know what right. competent cyber practice
right.
looks like. So if that's your bar, it's pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
And we just think, you know, again, if you talk about the role of the exec versus the role of the practitioner, lean on those risk management practices
mm-hmm.
that you know
mm-hmm.
and that are implemented and incorporate this into it. And that's mm-hmm. another way I think you
so
can make this
proactive. So why do you think, though, as you're talking, I'm thinking, why is this off in the corner somewhere, you know, because we see the headlines every day of these breaches. There's breaches happening, as you well know,
yeah.
by the minute, it seems like. So why isn't this more of a priority in a lot of organizations out there?
Well, one thing that a couple brave audience members today admitted to was they're numb to it. It happens
really?
So much, they're almost
yeah,
numb to it.
Yeah, I guess so. It's white noise now.
And I think the other dynamic that happens is sometimes at a senior level, you just hear the term cyber. Like I'm hesitant to use the term because
yeah.
it spooks people.
Yeah.
It sounds like it has this mystique and this deep technical
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
abyss. And sometimes people hear it and they shy away from it. They say, you know what, that's Mike's my guy.
Wow, really?
Right? And so we talked a lot about, you know, a way to bridge that gap
mm-hmm.
is knowledge up.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a fiduciary responsibility as an executive. Knowledge up, start to understand what that dynamic looks like.
Yep.
And you can do it with some pretty simple questions. You
yeah.
don't have to be a technical expert.
So I'm thinking kind of using the fire alarm analogy that we just had, but are you going to run to the fire or are you going to run away from the fire
right.
in this case? So you, it sounds like you really want to run toward that fire to
well,
keep it at bay.
You want to run towards the areas that might catch on fire
yeah,
and make sure that
too,
they
yeah,
don't.
To be proactive there.
Yeah,
so good
sure.
stuff. So one of the last questions here.
Yeah.
So what did you want folks to take away from your talk today? Obviously, get some minds thinking and
yeah.
get some action, get some discussions going in the hallway. But ultimately, I mean, I think you want action taken, right? You want people to act on this type of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, so we believe in the credit union movement. Obviously, I'd like to sell more of what we do, but it's really about how do we make the whole credit union space
yeah.
stronger. and able to thrive and to serve the communities that they operate in. And so it is taking action, and I think we prescribed a lot of different actions that they can take. We talked about, now let's use compliance as an example. Sure. So kind of a dirty, boring word, but there was a lot of acknowledgement that if your culture is focused on compliance at some level, and it's important, that makes you safer and more secure. So how do you enable that? How do you automate workflows around compliance so that, you know, Mike, today, Steve's done all the things he needs to do in accordance with our policies and controls to keep us safe and sound. Instead of, well, 12 months ago, when our examiners were here, everything checked out okay, so we should be okay, right?
Yeah.
How do you, some of it's just about, I think a real tangible aspect of the reactive to the proactive is a parallel transition from point in time to real time. And if that was one action that credit unions took, I think they'd be a lot further along.
Yeah. And this is just me, maybe it's my ignorance talking, but I, if it were me, I would be on this every day. Or at least give me
some
sort of
status. You need to start a credit union and be my next customer.
Well, there you go. Yes, I would just, I don't know, maybe it's just my paranoia or whatever, or reading all the headlines, but man, I would be on this every day.
Well,
or at least some sort of, like, give me a status.
There's definitely a shift, right? Yeah. Like, I compare where we are today to where we were 3 years ago, the last time CU Intersect happened. People are paying more attention. They are trying to do things differently because it's a problem that it is impacting their peers. Yeah. It is impacting their community. Yeah. So I think that's a good thing. We see it in our own growth. You know, 3 years ago, we were a company that probably had 50 banks and credit unions on our platform.
Yeah.
We're approaching 150.
Oh, that,
so
yeah. And it's still going.
You know, I think that uptake is testament to...
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's really
good.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, and that, I'm gonna, my last thing is give you guys a quick plug on Defense Storm.
Okay.
Give us a quick plug.
So Defense Storm, we exist to build a community of trust. We believe that the credit unions that we serve are unique, high-value targets. And so we've created... a cloud-based platform that we offer as a technology and a service that allows our credit union customers to be team smart, threat ready, and board accountable. Mm-hmm. So we help them solve the problems of technical expertise and staffing. We help them solve the problem of reactive to proactive. And we help them ensure that that culture of compliance that not only keeps them out of trouble with the examiners, but ensures that they're doing the right things, they're doing them correctly on time, and they know it in real time, can happen. So if you're interested in an environment like that, please reach out.
Yeah, folks that do what you do, Steve, there's, in my opinion, you can never have too much of it.
Yeah.
So thank you for all the hard work that you do.
I appreciate it.
Keeping credit unions protected, keeping members and consumers protected, so we appreciate all that side
thank
of
you. Those. You know what I appreciate?
What's that?
We got through this without a fire alarm.
Boom.
Boom.
That's right. There he is, Steve Sokup. Everybody, go check him out at Defense Storm, DefenseStorm.com.
Yes, sir.
All righty.
Thank you much.
This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders.